Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. It's always good to have you. Well, we got a lot of stories to get to. Let's start with the sort of the highest profile one, which is yesterday you had a press conference in which you talked about this warrant service on a 58 times former felon who was holding a knife to a woman's throat, I guess, or at least to her somehow, in a tent. And you guys showed up with the SWAT vehicles and the Bearcat and the Rook, I think you call it, is the
right.
Other one.
Yeah.
I know there's some degree of which you can't talk about all this, but what can you tell us about this response from your SWAT team?
Well, I think you got to go back a little bit. We had a couple of bail bondsmen because this individual...
From Alabama, right?
From Alabama. Bayonet, okay. I believe. They were wanting this guy. They located him using their own informants, and they located him. They're living on a tent, in a rather large tent, but they, even though they had a car, living in a tent, and that was at Helton Street. And so they tried to go pick him up, because bondsmen, as bondsmen do, and they said he pulled a gun on them. They called us. Our deputies get there, and again, it's dark. It's kind of a secluded area, and our deputies say he appears to be pulled a weapon on them, so they set up a perimeter. And then they call out the SWAT team. So we're thinking this thing lasts about 2 hours for the patrol deputies, and 3 more hours, or 3 hours and 2 hours for the SWAT and deputy combination. So for 5 hours, we're trying to get this guy to give up. At this point, we've identified him. He had warrants from Alabama. He has warrants from Escambia County. He's flagged as this violent offender. Two times he has been is pulled what he at least wanted us to believe was a weapon. So SWAT team gets there, and then during the conversations that we have with him, we also learned that that some people have he has contacted some people, says he's going to shoot it out with deputies. So we're on the highest of alerts. And then we believe he's going to try to get to a vehicle, because at this point he has nothing else to do.
He's not giving
out,
signs of surrendering.
He's not. And
okay.
Again, 5 hours. So we put gas into the tent, which was pretty effective in a house. It's even more effective in a tent, because he had barricaded this tent. He had
okay.
made it where we couldn't just rush the tent, even though it probably wouldn't have been the safest thing to do it. But at this point, we know that he has a female with him that he will not let go. And then the next time we see him, he is coming out with her in front of him with what is definitely a knife to her throat area, upper body throat area, and she's struggling a bit. And you can tell, we released some of the drone footage. Obviously, it's dark, and so you can
right.
see the infrared, but you can make out pretty well that there's two people there, and he's obviously trying to keep her as a human shield, the quality individual that he is. But we cannot let a hostage go. We cannot let a hostage taker and a hostage leave the scene. We had two of our vehicles there. One was the Bearcat, which is our armored personnel carrier,
mm-hmm.
and the other is what we call a Rook. It's more or less like a Bobcat type vehicle, but it's ballistic and also has a platform in front of it. And it was in the area as well, because we had, again, 5 hours to try to figure out the best and safest way to get this thing resolved. And he makes it to the car. Again, with her as his shield, with a knife to her throat, opens up the door, and you can see that even on the, the infrared video that we released. And once he gets in the car, our Bearcat, the driver, does a good job of trying their best to stop that car, trying to lift the back of the wheels with tools that they have, what mm-hmm. we call an improvised type tool, and they lift that up. At the same time,
it seemed like a pretty violent collision, really, of the
yeah.
the Rook into the back of the car. Is that a standard approach, or that's because I hadn't seen that before, and I don't know what the Rook's capabilities are, but
I don't think it was a standard approach. I think it was a definitive approach.
Okay.
It was an approach in that we want to make sure that I get this vehicle off as soon as we can. And the Rook is not necessarily designed for that.
Sure.
We know it has capabilities. We know you can do just about anything with it. But things happen in a split second, and you have to make decisions. And credit to the deputy. He took the opportunity, was able to lift the car so it couldn't speed away.
Got it.
But we weren't sure how long he was going to keep that car up. And the one deputy notices they're still struggling inside the car, and the bad guy has a knife, and he
and reports of a gun.
To stop it. Yeah, and reports of a gun. But at least a knife. We know for sure he has a knife to someone's throat. And we talk a lot about reasonableness. And is it reasonable for a reasonable person to believe that someone's life is in danger? And I think that was pretty clear that the hostage's life was in danger. And he took that shot and ended him.
And now you had said in the press conference that you were not sure, but that she might have been sort of collateral damage hit somehow in that single shot. Was there evidence that she had been shot? You just weren't sure who had shot her? Was there a possible, because obviously that's heartbreaking to think that might have happened. Even if it was the right decision, it's heartbreaking to think that the outcome that way, right?
Yeah, and we know that there's an injury. But we don't know still definitively whether it was a piece of the glass, because he shot through a glass window that had entered into the hostage, or if it was the round itself. When it went through the glass, it a piece of it broke off, or if it did go through the bad guy and then enter into her, it could also have been a knife wound from him. So we weren't sure at the time, and obviously the medical professionals are giving her a good treatment, and they can kind of give a better idea for what exactly the injury is. I just want to be open and honest with people and say this: at this point, we don't know. There's certainly a possibility that this could have taken place.
And so at this point, and I know FDLE is, as is appropriate, is handling the investigation because it's an officer-involved shooting, which led to a death. But even so, so I assume the officer who shot is now on desk duty basically until the investigation proceeds. Is the rest of all of the SWAT team and the officers also had to be put on, or just the one person?
No, it's just the one that fired the shot.
Okay, because I was thinking about, it's a massive personnel impact if it's, it was like 10 or 12 people that were there, it looked like. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Just one quick follow-up. I think it's interesting. I learned something from you talking about this and also this morning that, we talk with Mike Wood on Thursdays a lot about cop myths, and one of the movie cop myths is, hostage takers use the hostages in order to negotiate some kind of an exit from the situation, and then they go do whatever they're going to do. And what you're saying is that, no, we just don't let people leave with hostages because only bad things happen after that, right?
That's correct. Well, we're going to do everything we can to prevent a hostage. I tell people when I give presentations to various groups, they ask a question, what should we do if someone grabs me or attacks me or whatever? And I say, do not go. Fight with everything you have. Do not go with them, because if you're out in public or if you're in a parking lot or something like that, at least you're in your own place. If you get taken somewhere, they're going to take you to a secluded area, and it's unlikely things will go well at that point. So at that point you are fighting for your life, and so we take the same sort of stance. We will not let you leave with a hostage. So
and to give credit where it's due, we talk about how TV and movies get it wrong. They do also talk about don't go to secondary locations, and that's at least that part, they're exactly right about that. Some other things that have happened, we had two drug and weapons busts. One was inside a hotel room. That was kind of, I wouldn't have expected the drug house to be a hotel room, but, maybe that's more normal than I think. And then there was another one that you served, I think was on New York Drive, was a warrant search that turned up a bunch of drugs and guns, right?
Yeah, our guys have really been doing a great job. We're wherever the drug dealers are, wherever the guns are, we're going to go to it, whether it's a hotel room or whether it is a home. And real quick, we posted these on our Facebook page, some pictures of some people in the hallway right next to our fancy "This Drug House is Closed" sign. But you can also see.
Nice. Is it one of those little post in the ground, the two-parter, like the realtors with the closed,
It's much more sturdy. It's while we're doing the search warrant, we post this so the neighbors understand. That we're doing the Lord's work there and trying to get this stuff off the.
Whoever said the cops don't have a sense of humor doesn't know cops.
But if you look at it, just a brief rundown. We had possession of fentanyl, controlled substance, methamphetamine, cocaine, more fentanyl, trafficking in fentanyl, which is you can possess fentanyl, then you can possess with intent to distribute, and then the highest level is trafficking in fentanyl. What that means is you're doing the community wrong by all the drugs and stuff that you're trying to sell in our community. But the other one in New York was even more interesting, because when we get there, there were 21 people inside the residence. This is not a large house. I'm familiar with New York Drive. Not the biggest houses over there. 21 people inside.
So it's not an Airbnb on the beach.
It's not a bed and breakfast. It's not that at all. Although they probably
drug and breakfast.
Stuff like that.
Go
breakfast.
Ahead.
But again, with pictures, more pictures, and you can see the drugs. But on the right hand, upper right hand corner, you can also see the firearms. Total of 7 firearms, $12,000, oxycodone, 41 grams of fentanyl, all this stuff that I was talking about earlier. And again, the drug house was closed while we were there, and hopefully it's closed down for a while. Hopefully these people stay in jail long enough to where that community can recover from what the damage that they're doing to it.
And to me, the always, thank goodness, is they didn't fight back. And so we didn't have any cops get shot at. You know, that's I will take that as the good win. The one other one I was just going to ask you about is we had maybe there are two, but we had a Chemstrand Road chase that wound up in arrest. I believe you caught this guy, Winston Nobles. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't have all the information on that. That individual crashed. His car was pretty much crashed pretty good. If you saw the pictures, it wasn't ours. The Florida Highway Patrol.
Oh, this is an FHP. Okay.
We were initially chasing him, but I think we didn't have to pit him or anything. He crashed on his own accord.
And then you also had a woman who got shot in the leg over at Peachtree Commons, which has been in the news a couple times recently. So,
yeah, she claims that somehow she got shot in the foot, and her story ain't making sense. And,
okay.
And we ain't buying it.
Okay.
But, I mean, we buy that she got shot.
that's the truth.
The location's
okay.
Changed a couple times. The scenario's changed a couple times. The people that shot her changed a couple times. And it's just...
Who knows?
Who knows?
The one thing we know is she got shot in the foot.
Yeah.
Other than that,
right. So
who knows
so
if it's even a crime, right?
Our report says, this lady claims to have been shot here. And then later she claims to be shot there. And then later she claims this happened, that happened. Again, we're not, we've been doing this for a long time. Don't play us for a fool.
I understand. Well, Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for serving our community, keeping us safe. And we'll see you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.